This is Mark Kruger with Cold Fusion Muse. This is my first podcast. I'm a little nervous about the sound of my voice and how the recording goes, so bear with me as I work to make something useful for the regular readers of my blog. I assume if you're listening to this, you read my blog and you know who CF Web Tools is and who I am, and have some interest in Cold Fusion or SQL Server or Macromedia products or project management or any of the several technology-related things that we write about on the blog. For my first podcast, I'd like to talk a little bit about project management, in particular the three constraining corners that exist in every project. Back in 1998 or 99, at a developers conference in Washington, D.C., a long time before I started CF Web Tools or before it became an entity on its own, I heard a speaker at the conference talk about the three corners of a project. And since that time, I've often used this in speeches that I give to prospective clients who need to a tutorial or need an understanding of how to handle the relationship in an outsource development situation. These three constraining corners are time, features, and money. Time, features, and money. A project manager or an outsource company like us must control at least one of these corners to do an effective job. If a project manager can control two of the corners, he or she may be able to do an outstanding job. So I'd like to talk about each of these corners, time, features, and money, and I'm going to take them in reverse order. We're going to talk about money first, then features, and then time, because time has some special nuances that the other two don't possess. So let's talk about money. And I suppose it goes without saying that if your client, if your customer, has an unlimited supply of money, it can really accelerate your project and make it more likely to be successful. And certainly CF Web Tools could use more customers who have an unlimited supply of money to throw at us, and we wouldn't turn them down. Or we would certainly work with them. So if you're out there and you're listening to this blog and you have an unlimited supply of money, please, please call us. But having said that, money is not a panacea. Money will not solve every problem that you run into in project management. And sometimes money becomes an easy answer because it's easy to simply add to the budget. Let's hire a new programmer. Let's install a new server. Let's move to another version. Rather than to solve problems that are at hand that may have to do with features, requirements, the timeline, some of those other issues. So there comes a point where more money can simply make things worse. You're basically pumping up a problem and making it bigger by simply adding more and more resources, which become more and more management issues for the project manager. All right, the second issue, the second constraint then, is features. Now, when dealing with features, this is the one area where a project manager can really make his mark on a project. The feature list is the one thing that is decided on, is controlled at the outset of the project. And I don't mean that the feature list never changes. We're all practical enough to know that it does. But what you can do at the outset is to be very thorough about documenting the features that you intend to deliver, to be clear with all the team, with all the stakeholders, so that everybody knows, has a good idea of what the deliverable is, has realistic expectations about the feature set and what is entailed in bringing it to fruition, and everybody downstream knows what's coming, and there are no assumptions made about what the product should have or shouldn't have. And in addition to that, stakeholders who have control over the budgetary constraints and the time constraints should know that any additional features, that anything that comes down that's not in the requirements, that's not in the specification, has to cause the money or the time, the other two corners, to give way, sometimes both of them, in some way. So new features mean adjusting the timeline. New features mean adjusting the budget, and there's no two ways about that. The final constraint in this three-corner idea is the constraint of time. I saved it to last because adjusting the time of a project is a topic that's not terribly well understood. You might think many folks, especially customers and stakeholders that come looking for us to manage projects, that managing time can be done with a man-hour formula. I have several developers working for me, and if I have 10 people working for me and I have a project that's brought to me that is 1,500 man-hours, 180 some odd working days, and I have 10 people on my team, you might think that I could divide 1,500 into 10. I get 150 man-hours, and that is a 20-day, you know, give or take, a 20-day project or 1 month. That is a great idea with completely no basis in reality. Any project manager can tell you that it's impossible, practically impossible, to get a 1,500-hour project done in 10 with 10 people in 20 working days. And the reason is because it's not an assembly line. It's not a manufacturing floor. A manufacturer knows he needs X number of people, X number of bill of materials, and X number of days to fill an order. A project, a software project, is simply not like that. There are several issues involved, and they're fairly easy to explain if you take the time to listen and to talk to your customer. One of them is the dependencies involved. Many things have to happen before other things can happen. Even though programming the GUI might be the biggest or even the smallest part of the project, it might be necessary to wait on graphics or components or database or other items that are dependencies for the GUI to be programmed. So I might have five guys ready to go to program the GUI, but they might be sitting on their hands for 2 weeks waiting for some other parts of the project to be done. The other issue is basically management and division of labor. If I have 10 people and they're all gurus and they all have the same skill set and they can all do everything, GUI and database and component programming and middleware and hardware and configuration and all the tasks involved in a project, if they're all equally skilled, then basically it doesn't matter who I give who I give what task to. But that is not the way that team programming works. The way it generally works is certain tasks go to certain people who are qualified for those tasks. And I might have 10 people, but I might have two people for whom I can only slate 150 hours of a 1,500-hour project because, you know, that's what fits their skill set, their graphics or their layout or GUI design or, you know, whatever, database schema. That's where I can use them. Whereas some other person might end up with 500 hours of the same project because he or she is better suited to do that part of the project. So division of labor is a huge issue. And more to the point, every person you add to the team adds another layer of management. There's knowledge transfer that has to go on. There is, as I said before, division of labor. There is dispute resolution. There is all of those things that go into managing a team member, a highly skilled worker who's a programmer. And you guys know, if you have kids, you certainly know what I'm talking about. In our house, after a meal, we say, okay, kids, it's time to clear the table. Now, my wife, Anne, and I know that this task is a 5-minute, maybe 10-minute task, depending on what we had to eat. And the two of us could get it done in that amount of time. Get the dishwasher loaded, get the plates scraped, get all the food put away, get the table wiped down, and all of those tasks that you have after an evening meal. But when you add the kids into the mix, it becomes a 15-minute, sometimes a 20-minute deal to get it done. And the reason is because with children, that we have dispute resolution. We have to decide who gets to put the cat back on the salad dressing and who gets to rinse and who gets to unload and who gets to load the dishwasher. And we have to stop, you know, the chorus of Kumbaya that breaks out in the middle of dinner, or the demonstration of the latest, you know, lightsaber move from the Star Wars movie or whatever. So there's lots of things that are taking place that become management issues for Ann and I to get that job done. As good parents, we continue to pursue our children and try to get them to learn how to clear the table. But as a matter of practicality, simply adding more people to the task doesn't mean that it gets done sooner. And that's an important point to bring across to your customer. Some things are simply going to take the amount of time they're going to take, and no amount of manpower is necessarily going to make up for that amount of time. So, you have these three corners. You have time, you have features, you have money. In practical terms, if you control one or two of them, then you're in good shape with your project, and your customer will be well served by you. Money is unlimited, and the customer wants you to push up the timeline. You'll probably be able to accomplish this with more money, keeping in mind that point of diminishing returns. If money is limited and the customer wants you to add features, you can probably do this by stretching out the timeline, or you can probably do this by stretching out the timeline to make sure there's more funds available at some later time. If money is limited and the customer wants you to push up the timeline, you can probably do this by reducing the number of features. You know, just think of it as a pie chart with three equal pieces in it. Any one of those items that you increase, that you add to, more features, more time, more money, is going to make some of the others give way a little bit, less money, excuse me. It's going to make one of the others give way a little bit, and you have to be able to control one or more of them to be an effective manager. That's a great speech to give a prospective customer. He'll feel better about you being up front with him. All the bad news will be out in the open, and he or she and you will benefit from the process and the communication, clear communication channels that develop from an understanding like that. Thanks for listening to my first podcast. I hope to be able to do this again, maybe once a week, and I hope you'll continue to tune in. Thanks.